is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Our main goal is making sure that even your worst defender doesn't have an excuse on the court. But if he gets his ankles broken, that's not on us. Don't come looking at us.
Matt Olin is the co-owner and director of marketing at Grip Spritz. Matt is a finance and economics double major from John Carroll University in Cleveland, Ohio. Grip Spritz is a basketball company with the goal of providing athletes better traction out on the court. Hey Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Sign up now for their virtual camp 2.0 featuring 10 days of workouts with pro trainers from the Dr. Dish family. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Ben Stelzer, men's basketball assistant coach at Michigan Tech, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improve communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Follow us on social media at hoopheadspod on Twitter and Instagram. And be sure to check out the Hoopheads Podcast Network for more great basketball content. Are you tired of overpaying for your video and analytics platform? Well, it's time to check out QuickCut.com, a platform built by coaches for coaches. QuickCut is undeniably more affordable. It's all cloud-based and comes packed with features to help high schools and youth programs store, share, and analyze game film. Make the switch, get double the storage, and save your program up to 50% on the fastest-growing video editing system in the country. For more information or to request a free trial, visit quickcut.com/basketball. That's QWIKCUT.com. Listen and learn from Matt Olin, co-owner and director of marketing at Grip Spritz. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here without my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight, who had to jump off because his wife just arrived back home from Pennsylvania. She had been out visiting her mom. So I am going Han Solo tonight, but I am pleased to be joined by Matt Olin from Grip Spritz. Matt, welcome to the Hoopheads pod.
How's it going? Thank you for having me, Mike. I really look forward to this episode, man.
Absolutely. Looking forward to getting a chance to chat with you and kind of hear the origin story behind Grip Spritz, how you got involved, and just what the product is all about. So let's start there for people who maybe aren't familiar with Grip Spritz. Tell us a little bit about what the product is, what it does, and why coaches in our audience should be interested in it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think every coach is pretty familiar with, you never really know what kind of court your players are going to step onto. It could be, it could be dusty, could be dirty. And your best solution right now is either spitting on the floor, licking your hand, or, using those traction pads, the sticky sheets that every coach is pretty accustomed to. Growing up, I was really familiar with those. It was always cool to have them, but you felt like you were constantly at the scorer's table, ripping one off, ripping two off. and every kid wanted that fresh one. And it really wasn't until I got on the other side of the business where I realized how incredibly expensive these products were, as well as kind of what, you know, their suggestion is and, you know, kind of the long-term effects it has on shoes, which for a lot of kids, it's an expensive product. So we initially got started in golf and, you know, through a wide variety of reasons, we ended up getting to basketball. And we started with some 2-ounce bottles. You spray on the bottom of your shoes, wipe it dry with a cotton towel, and, you know, you got at least a game of grip. Through that, we kind of invented new products, got team-based solutions, and, you know, it's really just the biggest difference is there's no adhesives in grip spritz. When you got adhesives like you have in those sticky pads, you step on those, you step on the court, and where's all that dust and dirt that's currently on the court going to go? It's going to go to the bottom of your shoes, and you got dirt magnets, and then you're right back to the scorer's table, you know, a couple possessions later. So our biggest thing was finding, you know, a way to make that product work without having the adverse effects. And, you know, through different partnerships with, semi-pro leagues, high schools, colleges, G League guys, NCAA guys, we kind of started to put the product out there. And our main goal is making sure that, you know, even your worst defender doesn't have an excuse on the court. But if he gets his ankles broken, that's not on us. Don't come looking at us. So that's kind of how we want to do things and just, you know, make sure every, you know, it might not be your gym that's worse, but it could be a gym in your conference or, you know, you might be at a, you know, an AAU venue where you got 4 or 5 courts that, you know, they had indoor baseball on that week and you just never really know what you're going to step onto. And the biggest thing is just making sure you got good grip, making sure everything stays underneath you, and just making sure you can play at the peak of your game without having to worry about potentially getting injured or anything along those lines. So that's where we're at.
Matt and I got connected this summer, and he brought some of the product to our Head Start basketball camps this summer. The kids were using it all the time, got great reviews. My son is a sophomore in high school. He's been using it, carries it in his bag, and I always see him getting it out and spraying it. So it is a product that I myself have seen put to great use, and it's something that if you're a coach out there, I think it's a product that you definitely want to consider. We're going to hear a little bit of Matt's backstory and kind of get the story of where grip spritz came from. We're going to get into a little bit more detail with him. Matt, let's start out by having you just kind of share your story. What's your athletic background? Just give us an idea of who you are and where you came from, and then we'll get into how you got connected to grip spritz and how you and Tom put this whole thing together.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, kind of like any kid when you grow up, you want to play every sport. I played everything, ran track. I played baseball, football, soccer, basketball. And, you know, kind of through, you know, just what you enjoy and what you naturally, you know, find yourself succeeding at is what you kind of stick to. So from a very young age, I kind of got mainly involved in soccer and basketball. And it was just growing up until I got to pretty much fourth grade. You played rec basketball and you're the cream de la creme on every team. And then you kind of step into that travel world and see what else is out there. And you get involved in the AAU circuits. And, you know, really just from a young age, I enjoyed the sport. I feel like all the kids I met, you know, in school and everything, it was always that common interest of sports. And growing up in Parma, we have, you know, 3 middle schools, 3 high schools. It's a really big city. And it was nice when I got to middle school, you kind of know 4 or 5 kids already just from you know, playing sports growing up, playing basketball specifically. So I worked through, you know, the AAU circuit, you know, played a little bit in high school. A lot of when I played in middle school, I kind of just realized where I actually see the most at, and that was actually soccer. But I still love basketball. I still play it to this day, obviously. Once I got to high school, I kind of took a step back for a couple years, focused mainly on soccer before getting back into it for 2 of my 4 years there. And it was kind of the same kids I always knew growing up, same exact environment. And, you know, it's something I always enjoyed. When I got to college, I ended up going to John Carroll. Had the initial plans to play soccer there. Went to 1 off-season workout and right after school started. And, you know, just going public school to a private school like that where school got a lot harder. it kind of just – I was like, you know what, D3, let me take a step back, enjoy intramurals, enjoy college, enjoy, you know, just – going to school and getting a degree and kind of take a step back from sports. And surprisingly, that's when I got my best at basketball, when I kind of was able to, you know, go out and just have fun with it and not being underneath like a coach. You kind of had a free-for-all when you're running intramurals, you're running open gyms. And so, yeah, it's just been a constant in my life has been sports and specifically basketball. So, yeah, we worked through that. And I said, thankfully, growing up playing in my backyard every day with friends over, it's what got me a career now. So
it's funny that you say that, because talking about just playing basketball in an intramural setting or in a pickup setting, and I was having this conversation with somebody the other day thinking about if I was a basketball player growing up today, and or I think about myself when I was a kid and I ended up going and was fortunate enough to play at a Division I school. But there's a part of me that wonders that if I hadn't been able to reach that dream, and I would have had a choice of whether I go and maybe I play at a Division III school, or maybe I go to school at Ohio State and I just play pickup basketball, where I had some friends that went there that basically you could find a pickup game 24 hours a day. There was always some gym somewhere on the campus that if you wanted to get a 2 a.m. run in, there was a 2 a.m. run that you could find. And I think that I've said it a bunch of different times on this podcast that some of my best basketball memories are from the playground, are from the rec park in the city where I grew up. And I just think that the game of basketball is so – it's just so much fun. And I think sometimes we get caught up in all this other stuff that we forget that the reason why a kid picks up a basketball is to make it fun. And I think the best coaches understand the balance between making sure that the game stays fun and giving their players a positive experience. And I would get done with the season when I was – playing at Kent State, and the next day I'd want to be in the gym just playing pickup, because that was where I really found a lot of joy in my life when I was a kid, is just going out and playing on the playground. It sounds like for you that it's a similar thing where you pick up the game first when you're young just to have fun, and then at some point if you start to take it a little bit more seriously, not that it's still not fun, but it becomes work, and you got to put some time in if you want to have success, and then eventually you can get back to playing that game for fun. And it sounds like that's kind of where you got to.
Yeah, I think it's kind of multifaceted like that. Like, me and my friends talk about it a lot. A lot of it too, I know I listened to one of your previous podcasts where you kind of just, I think it was one of your roundtables, where you kind of spoke about just players having confidence and, you know, what a coach can do to make players more comfortable on the court. And I think a lot of us, me and my friends especially, when we got to middle school, it was almost like we all kind of came from that AAU travel background where – I mean, it's a free-for-all. Like, you have kids, especially when you're in, like, 6th, 7th grade, like, kids are finally starting to get – they're growing to their bodies, and they can do some crazy athletic things. And then when you got to middle school, it became kind of, like, confided in all. Like, and I had a couple buddies who were like, oh, you're technically a big man. We don't want you shooting threes. And all of a sudden, then we're in the open gyms, and those kids have some of the best jumpers on the court. So it's like they just became so like just confided in those roles where when you could play for fun and you can explore and do everything you want to do on the basketball court and play comfortably without having to worry about getting subbed out or you're running next practice, all of a sudden the game is it's a joy again. It's Pandora's box, what you can kind of try and do on the court. And I said once we got to college and we started doing intramurals, and it was like, oh man, this is a Thursday night and we're gonna play a bunch of it's 11 college guys, you know, 10 guys and a ref on the court. All there for the same reason, just loving the game and having fun. Like, there's nothing like it. Really nothing like it.
It's so true. I think pickup basketball is one of the things that I always feel bad for kids that are growing up today, because they don't get the same opportunity to play pickup basketball the way that I did. I would get in a car and drive to this gym or this playground or that playground. And, of course, I had the local playground that I used to ride my bike to from the time I was 13 or 14 years old, and just – you could always find quality games. Kids today, I'm not sure that they ever play basketball outdoors anymore. They look at you, you know, cross-eyed, and you say, hey, we used to spend a bunch of time running up and down on the asphalt playing basketball and have to deal with the wind and crooked rims.
And double rims.
Yeah. No chain nets, all that, you know, right. all that good stuff that just kids don't experience that anymore today. And there's obviously a ton of positives to the way the system is designed. But I always feel like the way that I grew up is the way that if I had it to do over again, I think just the opportunity to play pickup basketball, nothing beats it. And I'm sad that the pickup basketball culture has largely disappeared. I mean, you can still find it, I'm sure, in pockets across the country, but for the most part, as a staple of American culture, I don't think it's there in the same way.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know there was a park, right? We pretty much had the tail end of it. This park got, they took the hoops down. We were probably 9th or 10th grade, but it was walking distance from my house, and you went up there, and I mean, you're in 9th, 10th grade, and you're playing guys who are in their 20s, and it toughened you up, and it made you play. You had to grow, and I mean, I think it just made kids better players, and it made you just work hard, and it was always fun. Like, you can go up there, and you could get, you know, three of your buddies, you're picking up two randoms, and you can run for 4 or 5 hours, but it's an endless cycle of people coming through. And, you know, now I kind of look at it like, you know, I just joined a rec center down where I'm at now. And I go in there and there's two or three guys, one guy training a little kid. And like, that's right. The extent of the entire gym. And like, you can't get a run in anymore. It's different.
It definitely is. I think it's just not the same. You can't find a pickup game the same way you could back in the day. It's just a, you know, you go to an AU tournament and you mentioned playing for 4 or 5 hours in a row, and nobody does that anymore. You play for an hour, then you sit for an hour and eat your lunch or go to McDonald's or run to Subway in between AAU games. Then you come back or you're sitting in some random cafeteria. And look, I get the benefits of it. I understand it. And there's a lot of people that are doing a really great job with AAU, and there's some really good, outstanding AAU coaches and AAU programs out there. But I do think that you said it best when you talked about playing against guys who are older, guys who are better than you on the playground. To me, that's something that was invaluable, I know, in my development as a basketball player. And it's a theme that we've talked about on the podcast a bunch of times with lots of different people, especially guys who are my age. I'm 51 now. So players, guys that grew up in my era, I think all sort of lament the passing of that playground basketball culture. But I don't think we're going back the other way. Part of it is just the way the system is set up in terms of how people make money off of AAU and youth basketball. And then by the same token, I think that you also have the factor that you have access to gyms. As you said, in lots of places, those playgrounds have been, rims have been taken down, and it's just not available anymore. And so it's, I guess it is what it is. You have to live with it and move on and adjust to the times. And we've all obviously done that, but I still, when I look back on my life, I think about those playground basketball moments, and they're some of the fondest memories that I have of the game. When you were talking earlier, you mentioned that you went to John Carroll and you decided to take a step back from sports and focus on your classes and academics. When you went to college, what did you think you wanted to do? Where did you think you were going to end up? What was your plan as you entered college?
My journey at college is wild. So I started in, I knew I was going to be a double major in finance and economics. And I had one goal, and that was to make it to Wall Street. And we had a pretty good pipeline from John Carroll that, you know, a couple kids every year were in there, and they did a fabulous job of just, you know, helping you make those connections from the second you were a freshman to guys who were 4, 5, 6, 7 years older than you, and starting, you know, you could kind of, you know, shadow them for a day or get on the phone with them for an hour and kind of just learn about what they do. And that's actually really, really what I wanted to go into until about April of my senior year, which is not a good time to decide you don't want to do what you went to college for. So I actually decided I didn't want to do that anymore. I accepted a job, immediately told them as soon as I was about to start taking my Series 7 and 63. You know, I said, I don't, you know, this isn't what I want to do anymore. I'm actually going to move on from this. You know, I'm sorry. And accepted a job as a touring manager for Enrage Music Group in Los Angeles, California. Because the way I looked at life at that point is I said, all right, I knew I didn't want to do this. It was boring. I went through 4 years and I was like, man, I hated every class. Why do I want to do this forever? And I looked at two things. I said, I like sports and I like music. And I think they kind of go hand in hand, right? If, you know, you're, no matter what mood you're in, if you like sports, you're down to do something sports related. And if you're, you know, doing homework, you're working out, you're whatever you may be doing, you're probably always listening to music. So I said, these are the two things that have been constant. I truly, truly enjoy. What am I going to do? So I accepted that job. I was supposed to leave Labor Day weekend of 2018. My grandma got sick. I had to stay home. And 2 weeks later, Tom comes up to me with a startup idea, and here we are.
All right, so let people know, who's Tom? How do you know Tom? Just give people his background so they can kind of put it in context.
Yeah, so Tom is the inventor of Grip Spritz. He invented it for golf, like I mentioned in our opening. And he had been grinding at it since 2014. And I remember the most I knew about Tom was, you know, he lived four or five houses down from me around the corner. And, you know, the most I ever saw him was, you know, if I was outside, my buddies were playing basketball in the driveway, he'd come by, you know, he had a big dog and he walked with a cat at the same time. And he would always just say hi to us. He's an older guy. He's about to be in his 70s, upper 60s. And, you know, it's an older guy. He saw in the neighborhood. He said, what's up to? And that was really it. And he comes up to me in 2018 and he basically says, hey, I have this product. I invented it for golf. Just go out and take out your golf grips and you know, let me know what you think. So I do that and, you know, just through the neighborhood, you kind of hear stuff. And I remember our mailman saying, he's like, oh man, this guy's into the LPGA. Like, he's going to make it big time. Like, he had this crazy invention that worked out. And he came up to me and said, hey, I'm not doing golf anymore. I want to change to basketball. Let me know what you think. And I took it out and used it on golf. And me and my buddies used it. We all enjoyed it. And he called me over like the next week and he's like, hey, I know you tried it, that you liked it. Like, here's what I'm thinking of doing. And I guess, yeah, the rest is history. So he was at it for 4 years before I even got involved. And he had 52 ladies on the LPGA tour. He's been to golf shows. He did the whole circuit for that. And I guess the biggest thing it came down to is, you know, he got into the Ryder Cup, and his big joke, as he always says, is, golfers won't use toilet paper unless they're paying them to sponsor them. He had offers to do stuff with Brent Snedeker and different PGA guys, and it just really came down to just capital and how much they wanted, and it wasn't there. And on top of that, we also says, you know, when you golf, I mean, you might use your driver 14 of the 18 holes. You know, it's the rate of consumption isn't there. Whereas in basketball, you're using your shoes every game, every practice. As we started to transition, and he's an older guy. And he did motocross and he played golf, and he just basically said, I don't know anything about basketball. You know, let's see what we can do together. And that was creeping up on, what, 3 years now, a little over 3 years.
So what did that look like? So he has that initial conversation with you. Hey, I want to go into basketball. You want to partner up with me? Do you want to see if we can make a go of this thing? What were some of those first conversations like in terms of you guys brainstorming how to get this out in front of people?
Yeah, so I basically said, no, I know, you know, I got a couple buddies who are they either coach at a freshman JV level, maybe middle school. You know, my old AAU program at that point had shut down. I said, I know, you know, a couple people that, you know, were coaches. My one buddy is starting a training business, just different things like that. And out of the blue, he goes, oh, I met this guy the other day who runs Ohio basketball. And I was down in Louisville. And I'm like, you should have started with that. And, yeah, obviously Ohio basketball is a large AAU group up here in Cleveland. And he said, you know, I got down there and, you know, we're able to come to all of his events and market the product and do stuff like that. So we kind of started traveling pretty locally to Cleveland. We were in, you know, Independence and Lodi and the local tournaments here, you know, four court venues. You got about, you know, 80 to 100 teams, and just basically grabbing kids' shoes and while they're wearing them, cleaning them, like working 12-hour days, working for, you know, you're there before they even get in at 7 in the morning and you're there till 10 at night, and just like long, long days. I remember we were making hardly any money, but every kid loved it. And then we realized our biggest problem was if we keep giving it to them for free, they're never going to buy it. So we give them the one demo and then basically said, hey, you know, if you like it, send the rest of your team over. And what we kind of realized is one kid buys it, you know, on the bench, all of a sudden he's everybody's best friend. Everybody is taking his bottle. They're splitting it up. One kid is buying it for, you know, we're selling in tournament for $10. The rest of the team's coming back, you know, 10 minutes later after their game saying, hey, we need, you know, let's just get a whole box. And that's when we kind of started to realize, you know, we're onto something, right? And, there, you know, there's a market here. I know he looked up before I even got involved with, you know, the U.S. census data on, you know, how many kids play court sports, be it volleyball, basketball, et cetera. And, you know, he was looking at it's, you know, we're creeping up on, you know, 7-8 million kids. And then, and that's just up until the middle school age. So we're like, yeah, there's a crazy market out there. These kids like it at these events we're going to. You know, small scale, 3rd to 6th grade. You know, let's keep doing this. So for probably 6 months, 8 months, we just grinded that out. We're at, you know, small events. We're at big events. We're everywhere you can name, pretty much from Louisville, Atlanta. We're in, you know, Pittsburgh, Detroit. We're all over. And, you know, our goal is just get it in front of as many people as possible and see what we can do. And then, it went well enough that it continued hope. So we were at a event on the east side of Cleveland, and you know, we heard two kids were talking. That one kid says, you know, what is that? And he said, he did like a little dance. And he said, you know, it's a thing you scrub your shoes on, but it's in a bottle. So at the same time, you know, we're starting to get, you know, as we're demoing it, we're basically saying, hey, tell us what you don't like so we can fix it. And a couple parents came up to us and basically said, our kid's too lazy to use it. If we don't spray it on his shoes before he goes on the court, you know, he's they're already on. I'm just going on the court and yada, yada, whatever, right?
Right.
Imagine that, third to sixth grade kid being too lazy to do something. So
I've never experienced that, Matt, as a elementary physical education teacher. I've never seen a kid too lazy to right. participate in something. Never happened.
I'm 25 and I'm still lazy. So trust me, I can imagine they're going to be lazy all the way through. So we basically said, all right, well, if they're too lazy and he's doing that dance of, you know, what the sticky pad would be, you know, let's make something that can sit on the court, sit next right next to the bench and, you know, market it to teams. So Tom is a blacksmith metal fabricator by trade. So he can do stuff that it's, we joke that when he talks engineering and, you know, production things to me, it's me explaining a 1-2-2 zone to him, right? We're different wavelengths, so we're not going to try and understand each other. So he comes out the next weekend and he's got this foam pad stitched together and he taught himself how to sew on YouTube. And, he's like, I was, you know, doing dishes. I saw a sponge and I thought of this. This is what we need to do. So we're like, all right, let's just see what works. So we throw it down. We're basically giving it to like, if a whole group of kids come over from one team, we're saying like, hey, you know, you guys like this, we're spraying your shoes. What if we just take this, put it next to your bench, see how you like it. And, you know, they're all really enjoying it. And we basically said, all right, this is, you know, our differentiate. Like we have the individual player that's make a full team product. So we started production on that. We did almost like 6 months of just demoing it and basically seeing, you know, how long can it last, where we're letting every team, you know, every player, every team in a venue in an AAU tournament try it and seeing if the sewing tears, if, you know, this breaks down, whatever it may be. And, you know, it probably lasted 7,000-8,000 scrubs and it still wasn't breaking down. So we're like, all right, you know, this will last. Now we just need to make it more appeasing to the eye, because the old ones were tough looking. They were green and gray and they were tough looking. And, you know, we basically said, all right, this is the design we're going to run with. Let's just now make it appealing. And that's what we did. And we ended up getting a North American patent for it, filed for it. And we brought it to market the first weekend of March of 2020, and COVID hit. So very poor timing. But thankfully for us, we took advantage of it to its absolute fullest. We were working strictly Ohio basketball AAU tournaments, which was great. But that was never going to be, there's more basketball than that, right? And we kind of took that time to say, you know, where can we go next? So we looked at all basketball. And if you look outside just 36, right, there's about 25 million people who play the sport of basketball every year in the United States. So we said, what's going to come back from COVID first? And we knew it wasn't going to be 36 grade. We knew we weren't going to be able to get into schools and et cetera, because, you know, there's kind of some mandates that were in place. And we said, you know, what's the first one? We ended up finding some semi-professional leagues. And this is really the first time we kind of took the product to people that had been around the game for so long. You know, right? If I would have got approached with this when I was in third grade, I would have been happy that someone's giving me something for free. I don't even know if, you know, we don't know to them if it actually works or if they're just giddy because it's free.
Right.
So we're like, all right, we're going to go, you know, we're going to go down. We're going to be in semi-professional guys who have done this for 20 years now. They've been through it. You know, they play AAU. They probably played D1 ball. They, you know, probably played overseas and, you know, they're still hanging on to that dream. And we got down to Akron with this team and we kind of threw it down. And our one player, you know, his eyes just lit up and he looked at us and said like, oh man, that works, and dapped us up. And I looked at Tom and I said, we just got the same reaction from a 32-year-old guy that we got from a third grade girls team. Like, we're on. This makes sense now. And we kind of worked through that. And after that, just through different people. Like anything, once you kind of start, you know, planting some roots and getting to meet people, you know, word of mouth says, oh, you should travel here, you should do this. And next thing you know, we're in front of high schools, and we're showing them basically a breakdown of, you know, the sticky pad you currently use. You know, here's why it doesn't work. There's adhesives in it. Makes your shoes sticky. If you read the fine print, the two options are either supposed to sand down the shoes to expose new rubber, or rub it dry with or clean it with rubbing alcohol. And I mean, if you're paying, you know, any pair of shoes now, basketball wise, is, you know, $100 to $120, to pay that much money to sit there and you know, treat the shoes like that, when in reality it's simple. Just don't use that product, and you're probably gonna be better off than if you actually use that product. Once we kind of put that information in front of them, show that we are more cost efficient, and in the long term, instead of buying those sticky sheets, you're going to be buying a solution that's going to be, you know, almost 50% cheaper. It started just click for them, and then, you know, kind of started to sprout. And you have coaches that are at scrimmages, and, you know, someone's coming up and saying, "Hey, what's that?" And just word of mouth then, and it's just growing like that now. So it was. We said COVID was a blessing almost to us in a weird way, because it helped us get out from one under umbrella and plant a ton of seeds at, you know, at with NCAA guys, G League guys, by just sending them a bottle for free. And then the support that they gave from us, you know, kind of was that walking testimonial of, all right, hey, this new product is, it can't be worse, so let's try it. And, you know, now those seeds are starting to sprout, and, you know, we're hopeful for, you know, this next season, and then kind of looking forward to even next year when we're a little more established and we're traveling to new states and just doing different things. You know, we're looking forward to kind of expanding that high school market.
All right, two questions. One, manufacturing process. Obviously, there has to be a way that you've got to create packaging, and you mentioned that you tried to redesign it because the first iteration of it maybe wasn't as aesthetically pleasing as you hoped it would be. So just what's the process for, obviously, Tom has the idea, he has the formula, but you still have to get it into some packaging and get it manufactured. So what's that process like? And then I'll jump in with my second question.
It's funny. It's all Tom. Tom bought a sewing machine, watched YouTube, taught himself how to sew, had enough friends in the business just from working in, you know, whether it be welding or die casting, all the different things he was in. He had suppliers for, you know, our foam, our terry cloth, our mesh, the stiffening boards we put in so they don't flip up on the sides, tote bags so we get our logo on them. Basically everything through and through is being produced by him. And he said he always just tells me, go out there and see if you can outsell my selling hands. And that's that. Just him and I and our lawyer to keep us legal. So
throwing down a gauntlet on you, Matt.
Exactly. He basically says, try and outsell me.
That's good. All right. Second question is, so you get connected to these guys that are semi-pro players, and you start looking at connecting with high schools, and then the NCAA passes the NIL rule. And I know that you and I had talked a little bit that you were trying to bring some guys on under that banner of NIL. So just tell me a little bit about where you guys are with that, and maybe how that fits into your future or what you see. That, and maybe it doesn't anymore, but just where are you guys at with that and the possibility of getting involved in that area?
No, definitely. And it was something for us that as soon as that came out, you know, we're in a group text, Tom, lawyer, Jeff, and myself. And as soon as it passed, you know, I started texting there. I said, hey, this is something we really need to think about. And that was, I said, like you said, pretty much right when you and I got in touch and we came out there. And the thought to us was, this is a gold mine. And while we may not be able to provide, you know, the financial compensation a lot of these guys are having, we can work with, you know, D3, D2, NAIA guys. You could work with, you know, the last player on the bench at any big school, and basically say, you know, here's an opportunity for you to leverage your following, your fan base, your hometown, especially now because with the NIL passing, they could become trainers, right? You could say, you know, you put out a message that says, hey, who wants to, you know, when I'm home, Christmas break, whatever it may be, summer break, who wants to train with a, you know, a player on Ohio State, Youngstown State, whatever it may be. You're going to draw that local crowd. And we basically said to them, you know, we can't pay you out. What we can do is we can make sure that you're supplied with grip spritz for the entire season. And at the same time, set you up that if you recommend it to someone, you know, you're going to get paid, you're going to get paid a portion of that sale, and we're going to profit share with you. And the way we looked at it was, you know, at Ohio State, at anywhere, if you get in the locker room, like any player, they're going to share it. And you don't know where that bottle is going to travel to, whose hand it's going to get into, stuff like that. And at the same time, you have guys, I mean, one of the best ones we've, you know, kind of started working with is Dwayne Cohill out at Youngstown State. And, you know, guys like that, he's, you know, from the Cleveland area, you know, was one of the biggest recruits. The things he did in high school were insane. And, you know, when he comes back and if he wants to train, you know, he works with a group of kids, his weight, his word is going to carry, you know, its weight in gold. If he tells kids, hey, this is the product I use, you should think, you know, you should, I'll let you try it. And then if you want it, you can go to their website and buy it, right? And then he's going to get a portion of that sale. And, you know, we're not here providing them, we're not going to help them buy their first car, but we're going to help them have enough money that, you know, if they want to go out on a weekend and, you know, go grab dinner with their teammates, like, they can do that. So for the future, I think, you know, I think this is the baseline for us is, you know, all right, we can help get the product in their hand and let them do what they may with it. And, you know, I think a lot of kids are just, especially that age, when you have that following, they're naturally marketers, even if they don't know it. And they can kind of step out and basically say, like I said, hey, this is the product I use. I enjoy it. This is the level I play at. You should check it out. And, you know, those kids have, you know, tens of thousands of followers. And if, you know, 1% buys the rate we're giving them, and they got some pocket money to go run around and, you know, have their fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great strategy and it's a good way, again, to tap into what's an untapped market. It's clearly something that with NIL coming in that 5 years ago, nobody was even considering it as a potential source or a potential way of promoting a product. And at the same time, now here it is when NIL gets here. And I think a lot of companies initially and people who are reading about it, we obviously think about it from the big Division I school, Power Five conferences. Those guys have tons and tons of opportunities. But some of these athletes at smaller schools can be, as you said, just as influential and yet are a little bit unrecognized by maybe the greater market. So you guys have kind of stepped in to that area and been able to take advantage of that. You and I were talking a little bit, Matt, before we jumped on about what you guys have been doing with some of the local state coaches clinics. Talk about the success that you've been able to have putting the product in front of those state coaches clinics and just what the strategy is there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, like I said, that was our biggest thing is when we first started talking about high schools, it was, you know, I know I listened to your one podcast and it was with Paul down in Columbus, O'Connor, and he referred to the AAU as the Wild Wild West, which it is, right? You have kids bouncing around, you have dads coaching. And for us, it was like we invented this team product for those markets. And then all of a sudden, parents were like, oh, my kid only plays here, you know, 2 weekends a year. Then he's out and maybe it's Indiana playing out there. So we're not looking for, oh, let's take a bottle still. So for us, when we got into there, it was like, all right, well, these high schools are established. They're using the same thing every single season. And on top of that, they're not spending their money. They're spending the athletic department's money. So we said, all right, well, you know, let's kind of focus there. And when we got there, we got down to Columbus. The number was about 700 schools. And it was a carpeted floor. So we had to bring down a section of our own court. And Tom developed the genius tagline of everyone that walked by, instead of trying to hand him a sheet or, you know, he'd say, hey, do I have a second to talk to you? He was just telling people, hey, can I borrow your feet? And he was standing up and throwing our pad down in front of him. And kind of before they could even really realize what they were being sold, Tom already had them on our product, trying it, stepping on this court section, and just, you know, seeing the product firsthand, which, you know, is a new product with, especially with all the products that are currently in the market, be it the sticky pads or the roll-on things. And there's a handful that kind of came and went, and none of them really worked. I think it's tough to, without demoing it, it's tough to sell people that were different. So him getting them on there, and then it kind of just traveled like wildfire where, you know, they were sending over other coaches, they're sending over their AD to try it, and they're buying on spot, and we're getting, you know, kind of follow-up sales that are coming a week or two later, just from different guys who were in there and basically saying, you know, hey, we tried it, and our AD said, or our coach said it was good, I'm the AD, let's do that. And so through there, we were able to kind of meet up with people who were running the Pennsylvania one. We got into Pennsylvania, and it was a smaller crowd, but we ended up actually selling more there because it was almost more of an intimate feel where we got, you know, almost hands-on time with every single coach there. And it really just gave us the opportunity to test that market and just, you know, kind of continue to further diversify which direction we want to go. And, you know, I know we're talking about going down to the national one in New Orleans early 2022, and it just we're already compiling a list of every single state. So right now the goal is high schools and kind of letting the rest be gravy on top of that. So, yeah.
It's exciting, man. Exciting future. You think you go from waving to a guy walking his dog and his cat in your neighborhood to suddenly you got an opportunity to get in on the ground floor of something that I think is very interesting. It's a great product. And it's just, again, you never would have guessed that that was the direction that you're going to head. And it's exciting for you, I'm sure. And as I said, it's a product that I've seen put to use firsthand. And it's one that I believe in. And if you're a coach out there and you're looking for a better alternative than the sticky pads or licking your hand and wiping the bottom of your shoes, Grip Spritz is definitely something that you want to look into. So before we wrap up, Matt, I want to give you a chance to share where people can find out more about your product. How can they get their hands on some? Share your website, share how people can reach out to you. And then after you do that, I'll jump back in and wrap things up.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. So I think the best way, if you're going to look for, you know, kind of how it works or, you know, what kids are saying or what teams are saying, you know, our Instagram, Twitter, any social media, TikTok, we're just going to be at Grip Spritz. We basically give how-tos on how to use the product. We give, you know, kind of testimonials from a lot of the college kids we worked with the NIL stuff, kind of giving their feedback. You know, we have basically every third, fourth, fifth grade team you can imagine in the state of Ohio running around excited because they got to use it for free. We got pretty much every testimony you could think of on there. And then, you know, we obviously have, you know, other things like Facebook and LinkedIn where we're kind of sharing more about our journey. We want to really shed light into kind of how we're marketing this thing, how we're growing, to give a bit of, you know, because everyone wants to, you know, anyone who's running a small business kind of wants to see how other people are doing it. So we kind of want to give insight, you know, as well to anyone, you know, who's doing anything, whether it be, you know, you're training kids or, you know, kind of like yourself, you know, probably like you wish you probably had someone telling you what to do 20 years ago, 30 years ago when you were running a camp.
Absolutely.
We just want to help pave the way for other entrepreneurs and other people who are like, you know, I have this product in the basketball space. What makes the most sense? And we've seen a lot of them. You see those goggles kids wear where, you know, it helps you not look down when you're dribbling, or the shot coach where it keeps your form perfect. And there's a multitude of different things out there. And I think that, you know, our big thing is none of us are competing. We're all in the same, you know, we're on the same market, but none of us are fighting for a spot. A kid can use Grip Spritz and also use those goggles, right? And I think it's big to just, like we do with you, and it's just big to find opportunities where you can create that synergy and grow together. So, you know, we're doing stuff like that on LinkedIn and Facebook, where we're giving a bit of a different approach rather than just testimonials. But other than that, it's gripspritz.com. You can check it out there. We have a lot of the same information there, and, you know, kind of just the end goal there is, you know, show what we do, how we do it, and, you know, why we think we're a little bit better than the sticky pads, a little more effective, and why we can save your program a little bit of money.
Absolutely. Matt, cannot thank you enough for taking the time out of your schedule to jump on with us tonight. We are very excited and glad here at Hoopheads Podcast to be partnered up with you guys at Grip Spritz. And for all of our coaches out there, please make sure you give the product a look. Check it out. I think if you try it, I think you'll find that both you, your program, and your players are going to love it. So thanks for listening. Thanks for checking out the episode. And we will catch you on the next one. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.